Support for the Closing Market Report podcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments at adm.com/farmerview.
From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 19th day of June, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets and the release of the Informa acreage figures with Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. We'll look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility from Logansport, Indiana. Talk about the weather forecast with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And discuss the prevent plant decision for soybeans that farmers will be making very shortly across the Midwest. Gary Schnittke, farm management specialist and ag economist from the University of Illinois, will join us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org. We come to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
In Chicago on a Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day higher. Nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat at $7.07. The settlement price there up 19.5 cents. September at 7.14 1/4, up 19.5 as well. The hard red in Kansas City at 7.39 3/4, 20.5 higher. From the corn pit, July futures 6.82 1/4, 9 cents higher on the settlement price. September at 6.10 up 21. And December corn at 5.70 1/2, 20 cents higher. The March contract at 5.81 1/4, up 20, and May futures of next year at 5.88 1/4, 19 3/4 cents higher. July corn, 5.94 1/2, up 19.5 cents for next year. July soybeans on the nearby, 15.23, a settlement price in the old crop, up 12 1/4. August at $14.47, 11.5 higher, and September at $13.52 3/4, up 15.5. November, $13.10 3/4, up 21, and January, $13.14 3/4, up 19.5. Next year's March at $13.12 1/2, up 17 1/4 cents, and July of next year at $13.20 1/2 in the bean pit, up 15.5. Bean meal futures at $4.53.60 in the July, up 180. Bean oil, 54 cents higher at $49.35. Live cattle futures finished the August at $120.40. That's $1.37 1/2 higher. October at $124.2 1/2, up $1.50. August feeders at $144.65 for 100 pounds, 85 cents higher. September's at $147 even, up 77.5. And lean hogs at $99.97 1/2, $1.27 1/2 higher. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures on the afternoon, $97.62 a barrel, up 80, or rather down 82 cents. The RBOB gasoline at $2.87 7/10. That's a tenth of a cent lower for the day. Ethanol trading at $2.48 1/2, down 1.5 cents. And the difference between the two, now at 39 3/10 of a cent. Natural gas at $3.95 1/2, up a nickel. And the diesel fuel at $2.96 even. That's just about unchanged on the day. Gold futures settled up $7 at $1,373.70. And the U.S. dollar at 81.45 is up 0.84 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. For the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon, sunny skies, a high of 82 degrees. The winds will be out of the southeast, that is, at about 6 miles an hour this afternoon. And then this evening, mostly clear skies and a low of 62 on an east-southeast wind. It'll continue at 6 miles an hour. Tomorrow, sunny skies, a high of 86, south-southeast winds at 6 to 8. Clear on Thursday evening and 65, and Friday mostly sunny skies and 89 degrees. Friday night partly cloudy and a low of 70. Saturday sunny skies and 90. Saturday night partly cloudy and 72. Sunday should show us a sunny sky and a high of 90 degrees. Partly cloudy on Sunday evening and 71, and mostly sunny on Monday with 90 degrees for the high. Partly cloudy Monday evening, 71 degrees. And by the time we get to sunny Tuesday of next week, we'll still have a high of 90 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast at the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated. He is in Kansas City.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It is the 19th day of June. On the phone line with us to take a look at what happened in Chicago is Jackie Vakes. She's at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, the numbers changed, not a lot, but they begin to move much higher, I suppose, after Informa brought its numbers out today. And why don't you go through those numbers, tell me what you think of them and what they're lacking still.
What they're lacking still, okay. Well, they did drop, you know, all of their numbers. Everything went down from their old numbers. They went to 95.26 on corn from 96.8. USDA remains at 97.3 until next week's report when we get an update. Beans, 77.75 from 78.2. Corn, we lost a little over 1.5 million acres. Beans down about 430,000 acres from last time. Just a note, 77.7 is still 600,000 more acres than what the USDA currently has us on beans. And spring wheat at 11.7 versus 12.4, down about 600,000, a little over 600,000. You know, and it's always interesting when Informa puts out their numbers because, okay, it tells us acreage, but it certainly doesn't give us any guidance when it comes to expectations for yield and production, and that is still where everything comes from. You know, we know that for a fact. We can drop off 3 million acres, and if we produce 158 bushel to the acre right now, we still have a 1.5 billion bushel carryout. I mean, you know, so these are interesting numbers. These are guiding numbers. I think the bigger story today, Todd, in the market, we did put in a new high close on December 13 corn, the highest we've been. I just looked back here, and let me recap, since February. And I think a lot of that came out of the fact that we saw money flow coming out of the equities and into the commodities, primarily because Mr. Bernanke, when he announced that they were going to continue with their bond buying now, also said that instead of 6.5% unemployment, they're going to look at 7% unemployment being pretty good, and that they would probably start to reduce or taper off as we get into a little bit into the year later. And so it really makes it tough because we get a double whammy. It's really nice to see markets up 20 cents, 19 cents. Farmers get excited about that, but unfortunately our dollar is also higher today, and that has an impact on exports. And, you know, when you look at the fact that the USDA had raised exports for corn for next year by 600 million bushels. If we go higher, are we going to be able to meet that? And I think the thing that a lot of producers maybe are not focusing on, it's easy when you look at the fields today, Todd, to focus on in some areas how poor the crop looks, in other areas how we haven't got it planted, in other areas where we're replanting and all of us on the fact that we're behind. But the reality when it comes to the corn market is that we still, as of this last week's report, had an addition of 1.65 billion bushels of increased demand just to keep us at the 1.849. And so it makes us very vulnerable. Even if the crop drops in size and we go up in price, does that mean that we lose some of that additional demand and we still end up with such a high carryout? We don't know.
Now, on the demand front, and I know this is not the case for corn, but it is an indicator, and certainly it would be the case for soybeans. One of the largest end users in the world is China, but their economy, while good by comparison to every place else, is struggling just a bit.
It is, and that was one of the things that that we saw come out this morning. It didn't seem to have any, you know, any big impact in the market today, but I anticipate down the road it will be. HSBC came and said that they're going to drop their numbers for the expectation for 2014-2015 in China from a growth potential of 8.2% and 8.4% down to 7.4% for each of those years. That is a significant drop. Reality tells us they can't maintain the level that they were going at without overheating their economy to a point that they can't handle it anymore. But at the same time, the people who look at the big picture have to be concerned about this, and that's all of us, because they are a key to what goes on in the United States.
And speaking of keys to what's happening in the United States, and this one would be a key to, again, corn just a bit, related to ethanol and its sugar production across the planet, prices are really low.
They have. We've known for a long time that if we saw sugar prices break the $20 level and more seriously get down into the $18, that we were going to start to see an increase again in sugar ethanol production, especially in Brazil. And, you know, if you remember back, not this past year, but the year before, they imported 1.4 billion gallons of ethanol from us. This year, it looks as if it's probably going to be somewhere, it might be around that 700 to 800 million. And if they could start again to produce more sugar ethanol, that is going to be less exports for us, and it will have an impact on the value of ethanol itself. So there are a lot of things out there that say to me that producers have to be very, very cautious right now. You know, I'm not going to say to you, Todd, that I don't believe that we could see this market go higher if the weather churns and it gets hot and it gets dry. And I think we'll get scares like that, and that was a part of what was going on here today, too. But, boy, you just can't bet the farm on this.
A couple of things to take up in the livestock world. Cattle prices have been just marching lower and marching lower.
Well, they have. You know, today they had a nice bounce back. But again, you know, when you look at the bigger picture, there have been strange things going on in that marketplace. We've seen the choice select numbers basically be extremely high, meaning that there were a lot more choice cattle. And so in the cash market, they were paying very high prices, and they were coming in and selling this particular market. Now we've got cattle on feed report coming out on Friday. They're showing on feed 96.5%, placed 95.9%, and marketed 97.9%. We really never like to see a marketing number below 100%, but the on feed number says to me that there maybe are some places that have gotten a little bit of relief on their pasture, and now we might not be placing quite as many animals, but it's a tough one for the cattle market. You know, it's just a situation where you know, everybody believes, and we all know, we have tighter cattle numbers. There's no question about that. At the very same time, we also know that there's consumer resistance to paying much, much higher prices. And I think the question at the retail side, Todd, is how much more can the retailer push off onto chicken and pork to prop up beef, because they want to keep a rather steady flow of all their meats? And so I think that's got to be resolved, and we'll find that out as we move probably into the fall season more than the summer season.
Speaking of retailers, one of the integrated retailers and producers in China is in the process of wanting to purchase Smithfield. But there are companies here in the United States that are saying, well, wait a second, we don't think it's valued quite correctly.
No, that's the truth. Wall Street Journal had a great story on that yesterday, and they were talking about how the largest investor, Smithfield, has gone back and said if you pull the three components out and value them separately, it would probably make shareholders about another $7 a share. And, you know, Continental Grain had been a part of that. They had pulled out all of their shares when this whole thing came up. And so, you know, I guess after reading this story, maybe it's not as done a deal with Shuang Wei as what we perhaps thought it was. And I guess in the back of my mind, I was questioning whether that was going to truly fly. But we'll see what happens. You know, the Smithfield has been very resistant breaking up the company, so I'm not certain they'll follow through now and do it either.
And one final thing, Farm Bill is hot on the debate in Washington, D.C. this week.
Boy, it certainly is. That H.R. 1947 acronym is everywhere. and, you know, they're talking about increasing the deductible for crop insurance from 11% to 15%. Now, that really doesn't impact us in the corn or in the grain area as much as it does, let's say, in all the other areas, cotton, sugar, and the other things that they do. But there is certainly a tremendous amount of debate going on, and I don't think that when you look at the difference between the Senate bill and the House bill, in some respects they're miles apart. In other respects, they have things in common, and so we'll see once. I think it would be very embarrassing if we end up not having it go through, and if Boehner cannot get enough people to vote for it again. And let's just hope we finally get it taken care of.
Thanks so much, Jackie.
Thank you, Todd.
Jackie Vakes is with Stuart Peterson. She's from right here in Champaign County. Joins us on the closing market report for this Wednesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're joined by Gary Schnitke, Farm Management Specialist from the U of I, to talk again about the prevent plant decision. Let's start first with corn across the Midwest. This should be pretty easy for farmers to do at this point.
Yeah, at this point, if farmers have corn land that they can take preventive planting on, I would suggest that they take that preventive planting payment, because right now they would be looking at taking a, probably planting that to soybeans. And in most of the examples that I look at, taking the preventive planting payment is more, has a higher expected return than planting soybeans. In fact, in a typical case, soybeans would have to yield over 50 bushels an acre for it to have the same return as taking the preventive planting payment on corn. So if planting hasn't occurred and that corn payment, preventive planting payment is there, I'd suggest taking that corn preventive planting payment.
Now, on the other side, making the decision for soybeans is not nearly so easy. Why don't you take me through the current situation?
Yeah, soybeans is harder, because if you're taking the soybean preventive planting payment, the payment is less because the guarantee is less, and all the preventive planting payments is generally 60% of the guarantee. But just to give an example, if you had a 45 bushel APH yield for soybeans, you could expect to have net returns from preventive planting of $243 an acre. If you have about $265 of cost in putting out the soybean crop, you would have to get over 38 bushels of soybeans per acre to make it the same as taking the soybean preventive plant. And getting over 38 bushels is possible planting at this point in time. So those two decisions are taking the soybean preventive plant versus planting soybeans is a pretty close decision at this point, but as we go on, it will become increasingly in favor of taking the soybean preventive planting payment.
Now, there are some particulars that are involved with taking the prevent plant, because some will want to take the prevent plant and still plant. So what happens in that case?
Yeah, in the soybean case, let's say we're taking a prevent plant on soybeans and you're in southern Illinois, or southern two-thirds of Illinois, the final plant date is June 20th. So if you take the soybean preventive planting payment, you would have to wait 25 days before you plant another crop. So that would put you into roughly the middle of July. At that point in time, you could plant another harvestable crop, but in most cases, you would have to give up 70% of your prevent planting payment and also use a very low yield in calculating the APH yield for future years. I don't see any or very many scenarios. You know, I can't come up with a scenario that would be an economically attractive alternative, but they may exist out there. But those are the particulars for taking the preventive planting payment.
Is there anything when you have a combo policy, and you must have a combo policy, correct, in order to do a prevent plant?
That's correct.
Is there anything if you decide not to prevent plant that goes along with the combo policy when you plant after the prevent plant dates?
Yes, if you're planting soybeans after the prevent plant or final plant date, which again in southern Illinois is central and southern Illinois is June 20th, the guarantee goes down 1% per day. So each day it goes down 1%. If you plant after that late planting period, the guarantee is 60% of the original guarantee. So as we delay planting here, or as the planting's delayed, the crop insurance guarantees go down.
And that's what makes the prevent plant more attractive then, too.
Yeah, it does, because your guarantee is going down as well as your expected yield. So it gets much more risky to plant soybeans the further along you go in time. So if we get to the final week of June, it'll likely look like taking the soybean prevent plant will be have higher expected returns than planting soybeans.
There are a lot of calculations that must be made, and you have made it easier for producers. They can download a spreadsheet from the Fast Tools section of the Farm Doc, not the Farm Doc Daily, but the Farm Doc website.
That's correct. It's in the Fast Tools section, and it's a planting decision module. And that planting decision model has a prevent plant in it, a prevent plant calculation in it. And in there you can compare taking the prevent planting payments versus planting corn or soybeans for that matter. So that's available on our FarmDoc website.
Thanks so much, Gary.
You're welcome.
Gary Schnitke is a farm management specialist at the University of Illinois. You've been listening to a FarmDoc Daily podcast. Visit farmdocdaily.illinois.edu to read Gary's thoughts on prevent plant. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, with crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. More information about Strategic Farm Marketing is available at sfarmmarketing.com.
On this Wednesday, let's check now the cash grain market. Scott Butcher is on the phone line. He's from the Anderson's Climbers facility in Logansport, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Scott.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, we've had a little jump in the marketplace today. Did that have anything to do with the cash market, or were there other outside influences?
Yeah, I think more than anything, maybe some weather issues coming up in the next 2 to 3 weeks, maybe forecast looking a little bit warmer and drier has got the market reacting a little bit today.
And what are you looking at in the way of basis in your area?
Most places are going to be somewhere around that 50 over area for corn. It seems like that's kind of the 50 over the July is kind of where everybody's going to be for a while anyway. 50
right.
to
right. That's for old crop and new crop.
New crop somewhere around 20 to 25 under, I would say, would catch most locations.
That's a nice disparity between the two. 20 to 25 under would still be historically a pretty strong basis,
yeah.
I would think, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And what are your expectations as we move through July? Will the 50 get wider?
To be real honest with you, I think that it probably will. It feels like movement is good now, but at some point, it's going to definitely get harder to find corn here, so... it feels like for the most part that, yes, it will be.
And what are your bids for the day?
Right now, cash corn, we would be $7.40. Soybeans, $14.97.
Thank you so much, Scott.
Thank you.
Scott Butcher is with the Andersons, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. I'll be back in just a couple minutes. We'll take a look at the weather forecast at that time. Remember, you can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
It's National Martini Day. The origin of the martini is uncertain, but its forerunner is often considered the Martinez, a cocktail with sweet vermouth and Old Tom gin. Of course, there are modifications. Winston Churchill once said that the perfect martini involved pouring a glass full of cold gin and looking at the bottle of vermouth. On this day in agricultural history in 1941, General Mills introduced Cheerios. Each piece of the oat-shaped cereal is 1/2 inch in diameter and was manufactured from the barrel of a puffing gun at high temperature. The name was changed to Cheerios in 1945 to avoid a conflict with a competitor who suggested they had exclusive rights to use the word oats in a commercial name. And in 1977, the Trans-Alaska Pipeline began carrying oil from the Arctic Ocean to Prince William Sound. The cost of the single 48-inch in diameter pipeline was $8 billion. Since its opening, it has sent more than 15 billion barrels of oil to the lower 48 states. By the way, the steel pipe is resistant to gunshots, but in 2001, a drunken gunman shot a hole into a weld, causing a 6,000-barrel oil spill. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City is here now to look at the weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the planet. Let's start in the Midwest. What do you see over the next week or so?
Well, it looks like a net drying pattern will be prevailing over the balance of this week and on into next week. A few showers and thunderstorms will be possible, but none of them will be great enough to counter evaporation as we get into the 80s and even some lower 90s over this period of time. Certainly the warmth will be welcomed by many crops because it will help to stimulate some greater degree day accumulations and some faster growth rates in general. And it will also help to take some of the surplus moisture out of the soil and give us a chance to build up some better root systems as we get ready for the heart of summer. And so I think for all practical purposes, it's a very good scenario. Now, there's a lot of worry out there in the marketplace because we all remember so many times when we get into the late part of June, early July, seems like the weather patterns take a sharp turn and change rather dramatically. And so there's a lot of worry out there right now. Every time a new computer forecast model run comes in, there's a lot of concern about ridges of high pressure that may or may not be on those runs. Well, the bottom line here right now is that there will be some high pressure that will build up across parts of the Midwest as we go through these next several days. Actually, over the next 10 days, we'll see quite a bit of ridginess coming and going, though. It's nothing that's going to fester for a long period of time. And I really think that the bottom line is a very good environment for most practical purposes across the region. As we go on out into the second week of the forecast, if the same scenario plays out, it might be a little bit different. But I think we're going to see some timely rainfall at that point.
And if you look at other parts of the United States, growing areas, Colorado, Kansas, for hard red winter wheat, they've had a really tough year.
Absolutely they have. And it got kind of messy here in the last week with a bit more of rain occurring at harvest time and causing delays in field work once again, and raising some quality issues, and I think there's a lot of farmers who will be glad to kiss this crop goodbye. But over the next 10 days, the 2 weeks, we will see much better conditions for the harvest of that crop, and as for that matter, the lower Midwest soft wheat crop will also see some better harvest conditions as well. And in the northern U.S. plains, of course, we had some trouble getting the rest of the spring wheat crop in the ground, along with some of the corn and soybeans, and the weather up there is temporarily improved, but as we go forward through the next 2 or 3 days, it's going to rain all over again, and so set back some of that late-season farming activity once again.
And while the winter wheat crop is important to us here in the U.S., domestically, internationally, it plays less of a role on the global scene. Can you check in on the French wheat crop, what's been happening in Ukraine and Russia, and maybe India as well?
Well, it looks like a lot of these areas are seeing better weather now. They, too, had problems, most assuredly. The French crop at this point in time is seeing some wet weather, which is raising some concern for the quality there as well. They had a terribly cold and wet spring season, and the crop really hasn't performed very well at all. As we go forward through the next few days, the weather in Western Europe will continue wet. But as we get into the late weekend and early part of next week, conditions will get a lot better. In the Ukraine, I think it's been a very good year, and yield potentials will be quite high. And the same is true for for the China crop. I think it did very well this year as well, although they didn't have that many problems last year. And for India, the harvest is complete, and the majority of it went very well.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joins us on the closing market report on this Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.